The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
You're welcome back. It is Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Coming up after 9 on the football show, it's a classic game. Club Liverpool 5, Nottingham Forest 0 from 1988. We're going to be reflecting on that in the company of Ray Houghton, Stephen Doyle and Philip Egan. Ray Houghton, of course, opened the scoring in that game. So that coming your way after 9 o'clock. Lots of good things happening on Off the Ball at the moment. We're very much keeping the show on the road. Tomorrow, we're going to bring you the first episode of the OTB Kids Takeover. The children of Ireland this week have been asking the questions and Brian O'Driscoll has been trying his very best to answer them. So we'll bring you the first part of that on OTB AM tomorrow morning from 7:30 with Adrian and Owen, and it'll be on all our social channels throughout the afternoon as well. Every lunchtime you can tune in to Off the Couch. We have some of the best fitness trainers in the country giving you some advice on how you can keep yourself fit and healthy and just get up and get moving for a little while every lunchtime. Andy Moran, the former Mayo footballer, former Footballer of the Year, and also the owner of the Movement Gym in Castlebar, is the man behind today's video. Yesterday, we had Robbie Cannon, who is Shane Lowry's coach. We've had Joey Boland, the coach of the Dublin Hurlers, in there as well. And tomorrow, we've got more good stuff coming your way also. So a lot to come. Eric Donovan, actually, is going to be the man doing the coaching tomorrow. So that will be from 1 o'clock. So stick with us. A crappy quiz to come later this hour. But right now, we want to talk Olympic Games because Reese McLenahan was going to very much be one of our main medal hopes at Tokyo 2020. And he joins us on the line now. Evening, Reese.
It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well. The question we're asking everybody, I think, starting every interview at the moment, considering the circumstances, is how's the head?
Yeah, it's taken a bit of getting used to be honest. You know, like any athlete in the country and the world, I think everybody in general, I keep forgetting that this is a worldwide thing and everybody's going through it together. But athletes especially, you know, we're being told to stay at home and not exercise. Well, we're trying to do as much exercise as possible, but it's taken a bit of getting used to.
So where is home at the moment? Where are you based for the next few weeks?
So I'm back at my parents' house in Newton Ards, County Down, and that's where I'll be trying to do as much exercise and training as possible here at my house.
So what can you do? Have you got a pommel horse in the house?
Well, I've got the pommel horse. Well, if the sun stays out, I could bring my old pommel horse out in the back garden. And then also just going for a wee run, going doing body weight exercises and everything. So there's a lot to do. There's more than you think you can do.
And how are you keeping the mind active then, considering so much of your focus and I'd imagine so many of your thoughts for so long now have been built around Tokyo this summer and every minute of every day probably geared towards that. How are you sort of filling your thoughts over the last 48 hours since you discovered that it wasn't going to be this summer?
Yeah, that was a big change. I mean, I flipped my mindset on the day, you know, when I found out officially that the Olympic Games were going to be postponed, I had to then flip my mindset to focus not on the Olympics being the next target, because it's not going to be. There's 16 months now, I believe, in between there, so you can't be full throttle towards Olympic Games now when it's that far away. So I think that will take maybe a couple of weeks to get used to, because right now it doesn't even feel like real life.
Yeah, I don't think it feels like real life for anybody at the moment. So is your short-term plan to sort of zone out of Olympic mode completely? Because I guess there's other competitions now that will develop as hopefully as the year goes on and things start to reopen over the coming 3-4 months. Like, have you decided that you're just going to relax and take this as a little bit of time out for a couple of months where you can give your brain a rest and then you have a 12-14 month lead in again to an Olympics, or is it too early to know what you'll do?
No, it's a bit of a mixture really. So I'm not going to obviously be wanting to be routine fit because that is a lot of stress on the body to you obviously maintain for that length of time. So I'm wanting to stay fit and want to stay healthy, injury free. But also mainly for mental reasons to come off the onto the back foot a little bit and focus on other things maybe. And then when it comes to that, you know, I used this year as an example. I used this year New Year's. So New Year's Day was like Olympic Games was in my mind nonstop. No drinking, no partying, none of that from the 1st of January. And that should be the case for next year as well.
Yeah. stuck at home with your parents, there's probably not going to be too much drinking and partying for the next couple of months, I'd say.
exactly.
what are the other interests then? Because I don't think any Olympian really ever talks about sacrifice when it's an Olympic year, because this is what you've dreamed of doing. But when you look at others your age and your mates and what they're up to, and what are you, still only 20 at this stage? Like, what are the things actually that, if you have a little bit of out time now, you'd like to go and be able to do?
I don't really know if I can leave my house now.
Just go meet up with my mate.
I can FaceTime my mates now.
The novelty of that wears off pretty quickly, it turns out.
Yeah, I'd say so. But everybody's in the same boat, and I think that's quite comforting to know that. Not only in sport, as I say, and it's gonna take time. It really is to just adjust back to normal routine after this all blows over, hopefully.
So up to, say, the beginning of this week, and as this outbreak was starting to develop, when did you start to think maybe the Olympic Games were in doubt and that there might be an issue here?
So I didn't want to think that at all, because it seemed to me like the Olympic Games were going to go ahead. You know, it's the biggest sporting event possible, pretty much. I wanted to stay in that mindset. I didn't want any doubt to creep in, because I feel like it would have affected my training. So up until the day that they officially announced it, I was training for the Olympic Games in July. Obviously, when the announcement happened, that changed, and this is the adjustment of mindset that I'm talking about, that it needs to happen. I need to kind of adjust myself just to almost pace myself for the Olympic Games being next year now.
What were the emotions like when the news came through that it was officially off?
I mean, it didn't really feel real. It felt like, wow, this is such a big, big thing that it doesn't feel real. But at the same time, there's no point in getting annoyed, worried, or stressed about it, because there's nothing I can do. It's out of my control. So I leave the worrying and stressing about things that I can control, like my training situation. So that's why I'm bringing things from the gym to do at home. I want to be in control for things I can control, and not an international pandemic.
Are there practical concerns when something like this happens? Because obviously there's a carding program and there's funding that's in place, and it's all built towards July 2020, that I guess we're still at a stage where I know assurances have been made, and it's going to be a very different economic climate as to, you know, financially, how this might affect you over the next year.
I mean, I don't know, honestly. I really don't know. Especially, I know that the government are coming out with talks about, you know, self-employed people, you know, people that are on an annual wage, and they haven't mentioned athletes, but I don't know is my answer. I'm not sure how it's going to affect me, but I hope that the support is continued, of course.
Yeah, you'd imagine it will have to. From the pure athlete's point of view, because listen, everybody's going to be clearly affected by this in a variety of different ways, whether it's economically, and God knows how long that distress is going to last for. From an athlete's point of view, it's different, because particularly with an Olympic Games, and we talk about it all the time, it's once every 4 years, and you got to peak at exactly the right time. And you've been in such a brilliant part of your life, and you know, you're winning big championships, you're a bronze medalist at a world championship, everything, training, it seemed to be going well, everything seemed to be gearing up perfectly. Is there a concern that in 12 months' time, like, you just don't know how your body's going to be? The preparation this time around was perfect. Like, is that something that you can let get into your head, or are you mentally strong that actually you can block all that off?
No way. I'm still very young. You know, I feel for the people that were maybe wanting to retire after these Olympic Games, because then now they've got to keep on going for next year. That's when the concern should creep in. But I want to be doing 3 Olympic Games in my career, so there's no stress about that for me.
Yeah, there must be. I'm sure there's a lot of people in sort of older age category who, as you say, probably felt and knew that this was their last Olympic Games, and were pushing and pushing the body for that one last bit.
Yeah.
Who are probably going to struggle.
Yeah, now all of their plans have to be delayed a year now. Maybe they had a job lined up, or, you know, who knows? But everything has to be delayed. because of this, but it's, as I say, it's out of our control, it's out of everybody's control, really.
How had preparations been going over the last few weeks then?
They've been good. I've been working on new skills, upgrades. I want to come out of the Tokyo Games, Tokyo 2021 Games with a gold medal.
Yeah, well, I guess that ambition isn't going to change. Does then, like, we're talking about people a bit older, like you're talking about three Olympic Games. Does going from a 20-year-old to a 21-year-old, do you feel actually maybe that a year extra physically may suit you?
I mean, time is on our side now, so that's a positive we can take from it. I still believe that I would have done the job this time around, so I don't see why I can't do it just 1 year delayed. It gives us more time to work on potential upgrades, new skills, maybe even create my own skill, the McLennigan, you know, who knows. So we've got time on our side now, and it's exciting, so we're taking it as a positive.
What could the McLennigan be? Can you describe it?
Oh, no, I can't describe it in case there's any world-class gymnasts listening here that might steal it.
Who may think that they also want the McLennigan.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that something you and your coach talk about? Your own signature move?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's a dream for every gymnast to have their name in the code of points, so the gymnastics rules, where it's right. A list of all the skills, and to have maybe even the most difficult skill in the code of points would be a statement, to say the least.
Excuse my ignorance on this, but how many people have a skill named after them?
Oh, so pretty much every skill has a name attached to it. So, you know, there's, when you're growing up, as I did in the gymnastics gym, you're saying these names just as the skills. You're like, right. You're saying to your coach, oh, I really want to learn Yamawaki. I want to learn Tong Fei. These are all famous gymnasts.
What's a Tong Fei?
It is a skill on the pommel horse, actually. And it's a full travel across the horse, skipping over the handles. So it's quite challenging. But I want to make that a thing for me, describe my name in the history of gymnastics.
And is it the first person who attempts it and completes it gets it named after them, or do you need to do it at an Olympic Games and it be watched by millions over the world so that there's that familiarity to it?
So you need to do it at a major championships, right. And complete the skill. You need to submit it. The judges then have a review of the skill and value it. And then you have to compete it, of course, to get it verified.
So is that a constant process then? Is that you and your coach sit down every few months and try and work out some variation of a previous skill or something completely innovative? Are these the things that catch the judges' attention?
Yeah, for sure. And then also at the same time, you want to balance the difficulty score and the execution score. Mm. So they're the two scores that the judges go off. And you don't want to be sacrificing too much of the execution points for the difficulty of the skill. So the point is that you don't want to pretty much lose the value of the skill by doing it with maybe bent legs or bent arms or use of strength. So these are all the things that the judges are looking for.
And is pommel horse a sport where there is still, you feel, a lot of room for innovation, or has almost everything to be been done already? So to come up with something new is going to need to be extra special.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The latter of that statement would be correct. That it has to be very special for it to be done, because you know gymnastics has been going on quite a few years now, and a lot of the easier skills have been done. So it needs to be the more difficult ones to be competed now.
So when you're going to an Olympic Games, would those chasing a medal generally be coming up with something innovative, or are you going with your set routine that you can, as you say, execute to absolute perfection, or does there need to be a little bit of a risk involved?
Yeah, so everybody's different. Using the World Championships as an example, my outstanding part of my routine was the execution score. I had the highest execution score out of all of the gymnasts in the final. But then there was the guy that won it, Max Whitlock, was the guy that had the highest difficulty score. And then there was another gymnast that's done, you know, breakdancing skills the whole way through his routine just because it suited him.
Right.
And it's everybody is different. And that is what's quite exciting about pommel horse is that there's not one way to do it. There's so many different varieties and it's exciting. And that Olympic final is definitely going to be exciting.
And just on that then, is that something that changes as you get more mature and get more experience? Because I guess execution when you're young and you're going to a world championship, like there's a lot of nerves you've got to deal with as well, that actually you go and you know you can perform at the biggest stage and you can execute on that biggest stage, and that as time goes on then you can just grow in more confidence and you can go and take a few more risks in terms of what you're doing.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. And also if you can't perform on the big stage, then you know, your training means nothing. If them nerves get you, all your training goes out the window. And I know quite a few guys out there in the world stage that always qualify to a pommel horse final, and then that just gets too much. It's too much pressure, and they always fall off. It is a crazy thing. But I count myself as one of the guys that holds their nerves and pulls off a routine when it's needed.
Yeah, you don't strike me as someone, all right, who's going to struggle with the nerves when it comes to the big occasion. Were you always like that? Did you always have that innate confidence growing up?
No, I wouldn't say so. I would just learn it over the years of growing up. I'm a very observing person. I would observe myself first and foremost. That I would look for improvement in every way I can, and being confident when you're competing is just one of them things that I learned that I needed to have.
Who are the people then you would look at in terms of confidence, who you'd feel you can learn from, maybe within gymnastics and outside of gymnastics?
Lewis Smith. So he's a multiple four-time Olympic medalist, and his specialty was the pommel horse. And that's one of the first people that told me that confidence is one of the most powerful things in gymnastics. So he had that confidence oozing out of him, and everybody could see it. And that's something when I watched him on TV, I could see straight away too. Of course, my second favorite sport would be boxing. So I'd watch a lot of boxing. I'd see their confidence and see how that affects their, not only their them competing, but their training. You know, it pumps them up. It gets them motivated. So that confidence is a very powerful thing to have.
You spend a bit of time down in Abbottstown, I think, as well, with so many of the Olympians. Like that relationship, I suppose it's something that you were probably building up more and more, and all the Olympians together and so many of them in and out, and like such a high performance environment around the place that you're going to miss out on now over the next 2 or 3 months. Can you talk to us about what that's like going in day by day into Abbottstown, and everybody probably just learning a little bit off each other as much as anything else?
Yeah, that's so true. Learning from different sports that you would never come into contact with, it's a very good thing. And to have everybody in the institute, so that's where you would really bump into people. That's the place where there's physios, doctors, you know, there's a world-class gym in there that everybody goes in to use. And, you know, you're sparking up conversations with... I like to talk with the boxers, so I would talk with even John Conlon, who's Michael Conlon's dad, of course, and he's coaching the boxing squad there. And I would pick his brain. I love sitting down and talking with him and picking his brain at his thoughts of, you know, big sporting events that's happened, how their training ethic has affected their performance, and then also just the countless amounts of other athletes that are there that I would never come into contact with if it wasn't for the Institute.
There's obviously access to a lot of psychologists as well. Like you, somebody who likes to indulge in quite a bit of sports psychology?
Yeah, for sure. I've been with a psychologist for the past 2 years now, I think.
Who are you with?
That's helped. I was with Ella. Ella McCabe, but she's off having a baby, so congratulations to her. I was working with her for the past 2 years, and she's been a great help. There's so many issues that arise in life in general, but in the sporting world that take you by surprise as well. So for example, after World Championships, after such a huge win, Ireland's first ever world medal, there was actually quite a dip in my personality afterwards. So I was I was moody. I was just not myself after World Championships, right. And that took me by surprise. Because you're out there at World Championships and you're treated like a celebrity, or you know you've just achieved one of your life dreams of getting a World Championship medal, qualifying the Olympic Games, and you come back home and you're back to training like normal. It's just you and yourself. So that is quite a shock to the system. So it was good to have somebody there that I could talk to and vent with, and for them to understand the challenges that I'm going through.
Yeah, what did you do then to get over that part?
Well, focusing on different things, maybe things outside of gymnastics, because, you know, I was recovering. That whole year of 2019 was a big year because I recovered from the shoulder surgery. All my focus was on gymnastics, and all my focus is on World Championships, qualifying to the Olympic Games. And when that was done, my mind didn't go past that competition. So when it came to it and I was back home and I was sitting here doing nothing, I didn't know what to focus on. I didn't know what to do with myself, pretty much, because I didn't think past the World Championships at all. And when it did hit me, then there needed to be changes. So I did go to Ella and talk through with her about the issues I was having, and we came up with some solutions.
Probably good preparation as well for the situation you find yourself in now.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, even times like them will prepare me for even bigger situations. You know, when I come back from the Olympic Games with a gold medal, of course.
There's no downside to that. That buzz will last you a lifetime.
Forever, will it? But you know, you got to be prepared for everything, and that's something that I'm learning. I'm still very young, so every time I am going through these things, I'm learning. Sometimes I learn the hard way by doing the wrong thing, and I learned from that experience. But you know, that's life, and I certainly do learn from my mistakes.
So stuck at home then for the next few weeks and months, potentially. How do you take your mind off things? Are you, what recommendations can you give our Off The Ball listeners? Are you watching box sets? Are there books? Are there movies? How should we be biding our time?
I've actually just got a book in the post here, and it's called The Alchemist. Now, I just saw it on the internet, and it's very highly recommended for, you know, achieving your dreams and being a positive person. So I'm definitely going to give that a read, and probably order about 5 more books while I'm in quarantine. So yeah, there you have it. All reading right. would be a good one for me.
The Alchemist is the recommendation of Rhys McLenaghan. Rhys, you've been brilliant with your time. I'm sure we'll talk a lot over the next 18 months, as it's going to be now, as
yes,
you head towards the Olympic Games. But mind yourself over the next little while, and we'll chat to you ahead of 2021.
Thanks very much.
That is Rhys McLenaghan there, very much one of our main medal hopes for Tokyo in 2021, but potentially still called Tokyo 2020, a gymnast and brilliant personality as well. Incredible to think he's only 20 years of age. 53106 is the text number. We've got the crappy quiz coming up shortly. And after 9 o'clock, we are going to have our classic game club going all the way back to 1988 for Liverpool against Nottingham Forest. All coming up right after these.
The Off The Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.